Please join me in prayer. Give us ears, O God, to hear your word beyond our own expectations. Let your Holy Spirit infuse us with insight and the light of your presence in our midst. Amen. The New Testament reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It can be found on page 1782 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, we ask that as we run this race of faith, that you would help us to understand our goal, which is to serve you, to give our lives to you, to follow your word in all that we do. Lord, we ask that the words of my mouth may be pleasing to you and help serve you in this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our final half-truth, which was not in the book, and Dick and I kind of played around with this theme, but we decided on, because it fit on the sign so much nicer, and it didn't get there this week. Oh, okay, well, that's all right. It would have fit on the sign much nicer. Have faith, always be happy. So I always had this idea of, does faith guarantee happiness? And there are some Christians who are trying in fair, you know, and doing what they feel are called to do, to spread the gospel, as we all know that we're called to do, who will try to convince non-Christians that if they just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, every day will be a happy day for the rest of their lives. They sell Jesus like some kind of antidepressant. Get on Jesus and watch the good times roll. I might trademark that. Some will take it even further and suggest that faith will prevent you from needing vaccinations. You even saw this last week, a televangelist said that she didn't need a flu shot because Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. I thought that was some interesting thoughts there. There's no question that faith, right, can bring us happiness, right? I think we all know that. That as people of faith, we can feel that. It makes bad situations much more tolerable when we're dealing with them. Faith has this way, I think, of reorienting our values and our perspectives. And yet anyone who suggests that faith in Jesus will make you immune to pain, suffering, or sadness is selling you two tickets to Fantasyland. Just the living with the expectation that if you are a Christian, or once you are a Christian, everything will be good, I think is a terrifying thought. I've always had this thought that imagine that you are a recent convert to Christianity and you had been sold this bill of goods, right? That every day from the minute you have accepted Christ is a beautiful, wonderful day and there's nothing ever to be sad about or upset about. And you feel that pressure that every day's got to be a great day, and you need to let people know that now that you're saved and now that you have Jesus in your life, it's a total different ballgame, right? And so someone comes up to you and just says, "Hey, how you doing?"
Good.
And it's, "I'm doing great. I got Jesus. Everything's great. Everything's great." Right? This pressure that you'd have to feel that you're living the dream, that you could not be happier than you are at that possible moment, right? So as Christians, we know that faith is not some kind of cure-all. Our faith in Jesus grounds us, It provides us with strength, perseverance, but it will not prevent and it does not make us immune to suffering or pain. Jesus does not always equal happiness. And we must be careful when we're talking to others that we don't give them this wrong impression that a life of faith looks like. As Christians, we will suffer. We will experience depression. We will experience sadness. We will experience grief. Our trust in God helps us through these tough situations. It does not prevent them, but rather it carries us through them. Now, I have always been suspicious of the one and done kind of approach to faith anyways. Do this one thing and you're all good. Just say Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you're saved. Just repent on your deathbed and you'll be covered. Have faith and you'll always be happy. There has to be more to it than that. Faith is not just about words or belief or happiness. It's a journey that we go on with God, or as Paul would recommend, a race or a marathon. It's a pretty decent description of what having faith is like in this life. Training for marathons are, in fact, a lot of work. Have anyone in here ran a marathon or a half marathon? Raise your hands if you have. Jill has. A couple of y'all back here have. How was that, Jill?
The hardest thing ever.
Hardest thing she ever did. Sandy, how was that thing for you? It was hard work, right? Not just the actual running of it, right? But actually being able to be prepared for it, right? That you didn't pass out, you know, like a mile in, right? They're hard work. Training for a marathon's tough, right? And you have to practice. You have to build endurance. You probably should start eating right. You can learn proper technique. You might want to have the right foot gear, right? It's kind of important. Faith in Jesus Christ, I believe, requires this same kind of intensity as training for a marathon. It's something you have to work on. It's something you have to build those faith muscles through Bible study, prayer, service, humbleness, hospitality, all those things I talk to the kids about, generosity. And that's what requires us to build endurance in ourselves, build that faith. And it takes effort, it takes investment in our part to build the life Christ has called us to. A couple years ago on a podcast by one of LeBron James's business partners revealed that he spends in the neighborhood of $1.5 million on his body every year. That's how much LeBron James wants to take care of his body. And you know what this is going for, right? Chefs. Yes, I said chefs. He has chefs, masseuses. That's a hard, tough thing to say. Chiropractors, okay? Trainers. Physical therapists, all of these, this team that travels with him everywhere he goes. And the point of this team is dedicated to taking care of his body and make it healthy and strong and able to play at peak performance, right? That's the point. If you're spending $1.5 million, I hope you're at peak performance. Now, the weird thing, the crazy thing, besides the fact that LeBron James, if you've ever watched him, may in fact actually just be an alien from another planet, this investment has paid off. Now, make sure I'm right on this, Ryan. He's never experienced a serious injury his entire career. Am I right? Yeah, Ryan, yeah. That you know of, right?
That I know.
He's never missed significant time of a season due to injury.
He got a cramp once,
yeah. That's it, yeah. He had that back thing, but the team wasn't doing well, so maybe he was just taking a couple weeks off, right? This guy, it's worked. He's put this money, he's maintained an incredibly high standard of play throughout. Now this makes me think about our life of faith. What would it mean for us to make a massive investment like this one in our faith lives? What sacrifices are you willing to make to build more devotion to God in your life? Now, what if you had on your payroll your personal pastor, biblical scholars, a life coach, a dedicated prayer partner? Hey, hey, time to pray. Get down, let's pray. A community organizer who's showing you how you can use your life in service to others. What would faith look like if you had this kind of commitment? You'd probably want to kick everybody out every once in a while, just get a break, right? But this is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians. He wants us to undertake this faith and take it seriously and take it with intention. Believers must be fit and ready, according to Paul, so that you won't be caught surprised by Jesus' return. For Paul, that meant what fit and ready meant was mind, body, and soul. Our bodies need to be tamed, brought under control, disciplined, so that they are proper instruments for God's service. Now, Paul was not some Gnostic. He didn't believe that flesh, all flesh was bad and we need to get rid of flesh. He rather taught that the body was God's temple. You've all heard that. God's temple to be respected, maintained, and fit for God's use. And the same goes for your mind, your soul. These are gifts that are not to be squandered, but to be used in service of building God's kingdom in this place. Don't abuse them or take them for granted. Now, the opposite side of this is any person who has ever routinely exercised or is on a diet will tell you that staying fit and ready does not, in fact, always make you happy. Can I confirm that from many of you in here? That when you are trying to exercise self-control, you are downright miserable. Self-control can be painful. In fact, for me, most of the time, happiness and self-control are the opposite. I have to admit to you, while I was writing this sermon, I ate an entire bag of gummy lifesavers. And I love gummy lifesavers. You know what happens? You get to the end of the bag and you just say, well, there's only five more. Let's just finish this off. I really, really want to do the things I know I should. Right? I really want to eat five more Oreos because I know that that will make me happy. Not eating the five Oreos will, in fact, make me unhappy. Very unhappy. Because I love them. Yeah, I don't have a weight problem, yeah. Yet, exactly. Just wait. Exercising, praying, service, hospitality, generosity can seem like unnecessary, painful additions to our already busy lives. We don't make time to work at becoming fit and ready for God's use because we don't like to discipline ourselves. We don't like to make that commitment because it requires us to sacrifice comfort, happiness, to love others instead of just ourselves. Faith requires work. And it doesn't mean that you're always going to be happy. Now, Lent is beginning this week. As Katie announced, we were celebrating Ash Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, where you will be reminded that You are dust, and to dust you shall return, and you will receive ashes on your forehead, and you will be reminded of your own mortality. And it is an invitation to give up something, as many people do, give up a craving or a sweet tooth or maybe pop, or I would say in Virginia, soda. Instead of giving up, however, this one thing this year, I would ask you to make a commitment in your life to have more of something. And that more is self-control. Self-discipline. And don't just do it for yourself, because Paul's very clear on this, right? Don't just do it just to do it for yourself. Do it with a purpose. Do it because you know that you too are in fact God's temple, and you too need to take care of yourself so that you may be put to work in God's kingdom. That you will be fit and ready when Jesus comes calling at your door. And this is everything. This isn't just prayer life, because I want you to do that too. I want you to have a good prayer life. I want you to take care of your bodies. I want you to be fit and ready for all these kinds of things. I'm not saying we all need to lose 50 pounds. Hey, you know what? But we just need to be more intentional about that, because it's all is holistic. Commit to building up your body, your mind, your soul in Christ every day this Lent. Pray more, exercise more, study the Bible more, serve more, love more. Because faith is not about happiness, it's about praising your Creator for the gifts that you have been given and then putting them to use. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.